For our 100th episode a couple of weeks ago, we played you a piece of commentary from Nigel Ringland on Theo Fleury's first ever goal and his second goal for the Belfast Giants. Pieces of commentary like that are fantastic to listen to. They're really compelling. They make you want to listen again and again. It might not have been the same situation with regards to this on the ice, but when the Belfast Giants took on the Brayhead Clan at the weekend, the climax of the game, a 6.1-second final game-winning goal for Chris Higgins, brought out a piece of commentary that I could listen to again and again. So I'll hand it over to Aaron Murphy.
What a game! We've seen it all! Giants still coming! They want to end it here in regulation!
Into the final 10 seconds, Murph.
Zajac Higgins! Can he get out?
Yeah!
Chris Higgins! Wow, the bounce play makes it 5-4 Giants with 6.1 seconds to go. Have you ever seen anything like that, coach?
The crowd is alive here at the Odyssey, Murph. Chris Higgins has been superb all night long for the Belfast Giants. He's been my man of the match tonight, even though Colin Sheehan scored 3 goals. Chris Higgins has been superb. He's worked his backside off and he's got his just rewards coming up with what hopefully will be the game-winning goal for the Belfast Giants.
The puck was jumping like a frog in a blender and it found the good side of the goal line for the Belfast Giants. Chris Higgins will get credit for that one. They won't ask if it was pretty. They'll just know it was the game-winning goal. The clock ticks down. 2 seconds to go here at the Odyssey. Everyone on their feet.
Oh, the building's alive here, Murph.
Golly, Miss Molly, what a finish here at the Odyssey.
This is A View from the Bridge, an official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Tuesday, the 24th of September, 2013, and my name is Patrick Smith. We've got a great show in for you guys tonight. If you want to get in touch with us here on A View from the Bridge, you can give us an email at podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. You can go to Twitter @AVFTB, or you can go to the website www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. Tonight we've got everything to talk about, from the two games against the Brayhead Clan and the Dundee Stars at the weekend. We look ahead to a fantastic couple of road games against the league champion Nottingham Panthers and the Hull Stingrays. We chat to Mark Hitchcock about the situation in Sheffield, and also we have a lot of chat about various other bands and everything else that's went on in the Elite Ice Hockey League this weekend. And also, stepping in for Neil the Coach Russell, we have a very special guest. And joining us this week to talk on A View from the Ridge, well, we've got a man who recently became a father for the second time. Congratulations, David McGimsey.
Thank you very much, Paddy. I have to say, mate, very, very excited to be doing the show tonight, especially with such a legend that's coming on with us. You know, I've been watching this guy's career since he partnered with Lindstrom in the early, you know, 80s back in Detroit, being a Wings fan.
Davey, it's not Larry Murphy.
What?
It's not Larry Murphy, it's Aaron Murphy.
Oh.
As you, with the coach being on holiday, we thought we'd add a whiff of credibility to the podcast, which is our distinctly amateur outfit, by inviting Aaron Murphy, Giants Live TV. Aaron, welcome to A View from the Bridge.
Thanks, fellas. A pleasure to have you on there, though. I think Davey's a bit disappointed, although I can tell you what, you know, we could probably try and get Larry Murphy on here. The time change might kill him, but we could try next time, Davey.
I believe Murph's out of work at the minute, so he might come on to this show.
I was just going to say, he might be on. We might be able to get him on a speed dial, yeah.
Gentlemen, another fantastic weekend for the Belfast Giants. With two very stern opposition, both in the Gardiner Conference. Not least on Friday night when we brought in the league champion, or the league champions. That's getting a bit ahead of myself. The league leaders, the Dundee Stars. Murph, I'll start with yourself. A fantastic game. Kevin Surrett, what a hat trick.
Yeah, you know, I really like Kevin Surrett, and I've been watching him closely on Giants Live TV this year. He does all the little things right, doesn't always get rewarded. We're always expecting sort of Suez or White Cotton to step up and lead the charge. But when Kevin Surratt has a big game, that night, 3 goals and an assist. But it's the things he does, winning faceoffs, killing penalties, getting his stick into the lane, taking away passes. He's the real deal, and he's one of those guys that, you know, Jeffrey Suez was probably the big sort of, oh, we've got Suezer back. But I can tell you what, Kevin Surratt is the type of guy that maybe flies a little bit under the radar. He's a 10 out of 10, and he's very important to any success the Giants are going to have this season. We saw it as he led them to a defeat of the Dundee Stars, who were undefeated at that time, and riding the wave of a pretty hot goalie. So no small feat for Kevin Surratt to turn the trick against Dan Backel and the Stars.
Davey, Dundee really showed why they're leading the league at the minute. It wasn't by no means easy for the Belfast Giants. They really put up a good fight.
And to be totally expected, and going on from... obviously from Belfast, and they've gone on to hammer Cardiff and give Edinburgh a good beating as well. Going back to just what Murph's saying there about Surratt, you know, we've talked about him long and hard over, you know, the number of months he's came mid-season last year, but I think half the problem with Kevin Surratt, he's on a different page to half the team. You know, the guy, his hands are sick, as Coach would say. You know, he's almost unreadable for some of our forwards. He's that much head and shoulders, in my opinion, above some of the rest of our team. And while we've got Surratt in Belfast, we're going to win more games than we're going to lose. But back to Dundee, hell of a good fight to put up for, you know, we broke the back of it towards the end of the game, but they're going to be a team that are going to do very well in the Gardner this season.
A goal from Billy Bagran for Dundee and two from Jerry Polistron. But the Belfast Giants, Murph, the goals came from the second and third line, not from the top line. We had, as I said, three from Kevin Surratt and two from Captain Adam Keefe. It shows real depth in this Giants side.
Yeah, there's a lot of depth, and I got to be honest, really exciting to see it roll out in the games I've seen. And, you know, that's the thing everyone's talking about, and I know we'll touch on it a little bit later, so I won't get ahead, the Keefe suspension. But, I mean, Adam Keefe had 5 goals, you know, after that game, and that he's leading the team in goals. So it just goes to show you that the captain was leading from out front, not to mention his toughness and his abilities on the forecheck, and he's a pretty good penalty killer too. But Adam Keefe with 5 goals, and you touch on it there, the depth is unbelievable, and it's only going to make things easier for the Giants down the stretch, because if you're not getting goals from Jeffrey Suez, then a guy like Adam Keefe, you know, chips in 2 and 5 over 4 games. I mean, it's incredible the depth they've had. And then, you know, as Davey said, I mean, Surratt is so good, and he's coming out on the second line. I mean, he's probably as good as any forward in the league. So to have a guy like him on the second line just is a testament to the team that Paul Adey and Todd Kelman have built this season for Giants fans to enjoy.
Well, you mentioned there the suspension to Keefe. It came out, well, we're going to talk about suspensions overall later in the show, but on this specific one with regards to Keefe, Davey, it was a check to the head on Mike Worrell, I believe, and Dean Smith. We took a bit of time in deciding before he sent Adam Keefe for an early shower. It wasn't a match penalty, so it wasn't an automatic review by the Elite League. So Dundee did request that it be reviewed, and he was assessed to have a 3-game suspension for that. It all happened very quickly, but it seems pretty justified looking at the video.
You know, we can't sit here week on week and criticise other teams, and especially their fans, for jumping in and defending their own players. It's only natural that fans of teams come in and back up their own players. In my opinion, yes, the suspension's justified. No, I don't think Adam Keefe meant to injure Mike Worrell.
No.
In my opinion, Worrell and Lloyd, I think it was, were slightly tied up on the boards, and Keefe's came in to deliver a hit. And I think he's actually rid up over Lloyd's shoulder by accident and ended up hitting the head. I don't think he's gone in. Adam Keefe's not a headhunter. You know, anybody around the league will tell you, Adam Keefe is a tough, hard-nosed player, but he plays fair. Sometimes the line, where the line is, can sometimes be very slightly crossed, but he is no way a dirty player. Like, he's took a suspension on the chin. He's held his hands up and said, look, what's happened's happened. Let's move on. And I think we have to do the same. He's been given the penalty, and we'll have to say, you know, looking back, I think even Murph, when he was doing the commentary on the Saturday night, or maybe just after the game, said, you know, it looked like, you know, it was a suspendable hit, and it's turned out to be that way. I think we'll have to just take it on the chin and move on.
Murph, you like I say, you had the opportunity to chat to Adam Keefe on the Saturday while he was serving his suspension in the first period break. I don't think that interview was quite as good as the one in the second period break, but I guess that's just the interview. But he was having spoken to him myself as well. He was very much, he has taken it on the chin. You know, it did happen very quickly. But in this game moves so fast that things like that are going to happen.
Well, he actually alluded to that. He went in and the point of contact was not the head on. Replay about 10 times. I got the crew before the Saturday game to show me the video from Friday's game, and I watched it over and over again, and I watched it as a journalist. I didn't watch it as someone who's doing a Giants game. I looked at it over and over again. The point of contact was the chest. Kiefer, being probably a little bit shorter than Mike Worrell, he sort of pushed off, and the hands rode up into Worrell's face. The problem was that Worrell's head snapped back and hit the boards. Kiefer was coming in at speed, and I think he didn't realize until it was too late that he was going to run out of space, and that the board, you know, Lloydie was there, as Davey says, but Big McPherson was there as well, right, who ended up tussling with Keefe. So Keefe was going in there. He told me he thought it looked like Worrell was going to jump Lloyd. So he came in to protect his teammate, as he's been known to do. That's why he's such a great captain. Correct. So he comes in aggressively, as Kiefer always does, runs out of room. It happens at such pace, and he said to me, hand on heart, I did not mean to hurt Mike Worrell. I actually, you know, he said, I wish Mike Worrell a speedy recovery. He pushed off on the chest. It was, you know, hands to chest, and the hands came up into the face, knocking Worrell's head into the board. So it was a bang-bang play, and unfortunately, it, you know, if that happens farther away from the boards, it might have just been, you know, an uncomfortable situation as opposed to a hit to the head and a suspendable offense. But I spoke to Kiefer, as you mentioned, and he was quite honest. You know, he said it happened quickly. It was probably a suspendable hit. It was by no means intentional. And he knew as soon as Dundee requested the review that he would probably not be playing Saturday night.
It is difficult when you have your captain like that, who is heart in his chest, as a guy who goes in and plays so hard every night, and like you say, he's scoring. He's leading the Giants in goals. So it's, you know, it's by no means a one dimensional player. But losing a player like that is always a worry, especially leading into these two games this weekend in the NIC and in Hull. But we'll come to that in a bit. I'd actually like to move on now to Saturday. And
can I jump in there, just as normal. One thing I'll say about games coming up this weekend, Nottingham Hull, etc. When Keith is not on the ice for us, it is going to have to turn to somebody else to step up that physical element. Because when Keith was in the penalty box in Cardiff a few weeks ago, Convoy started acting the maggot. You know, it wasn't until Keith was off the ice that these things started happening. Chris Frank on Saturday night in Belfast. You know, it seems to be Belfast have this almost. Keith is our go-to guy when it comes to enforcing. Somebody else is going to have to stand up and be the go-to guy this weekend when Keith's not there.
I totally agree, Davey. And we can get to the Frank. It was a bit of antics there with Lloyd on Saturday. But in fairness, Cody Brookwell tried to get to Lloyd's defense, but he was so far behind. The play had moved up ice so far. Brookwell's, you know, he's reversed. He's in defense mode. Once he saw what happened, he tried to get up the ice. By that point, there was linesmen and referees everywhere. He would have had to punch through a herd of zebras to Chris Frank. So I just want to touch full marks to Cody Brookwell for not going over the top. Because to come to Lloydie's defense from Frank on that play, he would have had to do something seriously silly, like a Convoy. And we know what happens when you start acting like that is you get big suspensions. So Cody Brookwell came up ice as quick as he possibly could. And I know what, you know, he had a few words with Frank, but because the game was close, no one could really do much against Frank. But I can tell you right now, I watched Cody Brookwell come a good 60, 70 feet at full tilt to try and get there. And if he had been 5 feet away when Frank done that, I'm pretty sure that he would have the gloves would have been off, and we would have seen Cody Brookwell, what he could do in that capacity. But you're absolutely right. Some other guys are going to have to stand up, and it doesn't necessarily mean dropping the gloves, but certainly showing a willingness to step up for your teammates. And I know Coach, you know, Russler said a few times he's expecting, you know, Swayze to break out of this sort of melancholy, and maybe a good fight is what Swayze needs. So keep an eye on Swayze, and I said it to Brooksy after the game Saturday night. I expect a lot from White Cotton and Suez on Saturday night at the NIC.
Well, see, that's the thing, isn't it? It's not as if this Belfast team is actually, you know, that Kiefer's the only bulk, is the only big guy. You have Suezer there. Surrett's a big guy himself. He got him, and he got involved in the game. Was it on Friday night or Saturday night? With Tyler Dozak, so it must have been Friday night. Suezer, like you said, White Cotton's a big guy. The Giants have the physicality there, so it doesn't have to fall on Keith DeLade, but it's just, like you say, breaking out of that and actually taking it upon yourself to, when the chips are down, be that sort of player. Looking at Saturday night, like I say, absolute stunner. 9-goal thriller of a game. Murph, we started the show with, we've started this podcast with the piece of commentary that led up to the game-winning goal by Chris Higgins, but before that even happened, it was a cracking match to watch.
Well, obviously, I mean, we were pretty, like, any time, and it would have been either. Well, like, any time you have a game that's close and there's a few goals, I mean, I think it was 6.1 seconds to go, the winning goal. So it's exciting. It's good for the league to see that teams can come back, because then nobody mails it in on any given night. It's better for the fans. I just think that Belfast is going to remember that game in the dog days of winter in February and in January, where there might be a game. You know, you can't get it going, but you know that you can get back into it. And they might look back to this game and say, you know, we were down 4-3 with a few minutes to go against a pretty good Brayhead team who had played a good road game. We never gave up. We got a big goal from Shieldsy, one of our snipers, and we got a big goal from Higgins to win it. So I don't discount how important that went. I know it's Challenge Cup and everyone's like, we need league points, but don't forget that, or don't discount how important that win will be against Brayhead when they need to you know, a second intermission talk about, oh, we need a few goals this period. They'll be able to look back at this Brayhead win and go, we didn't give up, we kept fighting to the final buzzer, and we were rewarded with our just reward. And that's going to go a long way if they're ever trailing a goal in Sheffield or trailing by a few in Nottingham. They'll have the belief that they can come back. So that Brayhead game, I know Paul Adey would agree, was a huge, huge win, and it's something you can build a framework off for the rest of the season when you're trailing going into the third period.
Davey, we spoke last week on the podcast first about the fact that the top line maybe weren't scoring as much as we would hope they would, and with that, the fact that, you know, the White Cotton and Shields, and, you know, we expect more from them. Well, second hat trick, this time Colin Shields again, another player we've discussed at length, but fantastic to see him get those three.
Yeah, you know, Colin Shields, another player that gets an awful lot of criticism from an awful lot of people, and he's been discussed positively and negatively on the podcast many times. But you've got to hand it to Colin Shields. Murph used the word, he's just a pure sniper. He's something like 350 points in maybe 260-270 games or something like that for the Giants. The guy knows where the back of the net is. Colin Shields takes a lot of criticism for maybe being just in around the periphery of the game, maybe just not that strong in the forecheck or whatever, but when the chips are down, he was the man on the end of the, you know, putting the puck in the net, and hard to take any criticism from that. As Murph's also said about this particular Giants team, when they were 4-0 down against the Coventry Blaze last week, they were going to the final buzzer. This team didn't mail that game in, even though they were 5-4, 5-0 down, and they went to the final buzzer against the Brayhead Clan. I think that can only be positive for this team, that Coach Adey has already built the team. And we talked about it the other week, when we said that we had so many players returning, that, you know, for us, the bonus was that we should have a little more chemistry than other teams, perhaps. And you can already see that within our team, that they're already fighting for each other. And this team is prepared to go to 60 minutes in every game, no matter what the score. And I think this is an exciting team we've got.
It's great. It was great to watch. It was a very, very exciting game to watch. It really had its moments. It had its physicality with Chris Frank and Daryl Lloyd coming together. You said the White Cotton, or Brickwell trying to get through on that. It also, one of the ones that stuck out for me, Murph, was the goal by Nathan Moon. Just after Colin Shields had pulled one back, Nathan Moon seemed to be part of a bit of an ability to skip through the Giants' defence and catch them on the hop just at the end of the second period. It really wasn't what the Giants wanted at that point.
Yeah, we touched on that. We talked after the game, Patty, and we just said it was a momentary lapse in concentration, rather, that, you know, it's better to happen early in the season and lay it down as a marker so that you don't have it happen when you're searching for a title later on in the season. But we were surprised at how quickly Nathan Moon came back. But you know what? Again, learn from that, right? And just know that you can't, you know, even though there's 20 seconds to go in a period and you've just scored, you can't have a soft shift. You got to play 60 minutes. So that's another marker for them to lay down. But Nathan Moon, you know, we talked a few times during the broadcast. He and Lloyd are the same player, so I wasn't surprised at his tenacity. He and Lloyd were at each other all night. A very similar style of play, hard on the forecheck, a real good trash talker. So there's a guy that can put the puck in the net, and I think Ryan Finnerty's got a real good player there in Nathan Moon. And certainly I was impressed with Finner's team because they didn't give up. They were down 1-0. They were down 3-2. You know, they kept pressing the Giants. They just had their own lapse of concentration in the last few minutes. And I spoke to Finner after. He said it cost him. But I really like your point there that the Giants can't afford to do that. And maybe it was better they did it in the second period than when, you know, the Brayhead clan did it late in the third period. And it cost him the Challenge Cup win.
I think it's one of those ones, Paddy. In any sport, it's really dangerous when you score, especially hockey, because, you know, the Giants have scored over 20 seconds to go, and they're mentally in the locker room with a draw. Brilliant, boys, we've got ourselves back into this. Now let's get our break, get our cup of tea, and we'll get back out for the third and win this. And they've just completely switched off. And as Murph said there, Moon is a top player. He's very much in the mould of the Ryan Finnerty, you know, a real old-fashioned rink rat, and he does get in your face, and he's got that in his locker now. You know, he can score good goals, and Smurf said we took a shift off and we paid the penalty for it.
So I'll just briefly touch on that game-winning goal by Chris Higgins, Murph. We've heard the audio already from you and coach.
Beauty audio, eh?
It's fantastic. I listen to it again and again. How exciting is it to call a finish like that? Because 10 seconds to go, we're 4-4. Shieldsy has just pulled us back with like just under 100 seconds to go. So less than 10 seconds to go. Higgins digs it out of the corner, puts it through the legs of one of the Brayhead defensemen, and it'll bounce play off Cal Jones into the back of the net, and the Odyssey, the roof lifted off.
It was unbelievable, and I saw it in slow motion, and you saw our commentary position as he came on the second intermission, which was also a highlight of the broadcast for me.
Thank you very much.
It was fantastic. But I could see it happening in slow motion, and it was actually weird. I don't think I've ever had this in any of the games I've called, whether it be KHL or World Championships or EIHL. But I could see the puck going across the line before there was ever a reaction because Jones didn't know where it was. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Higgins might say he tried to bank it like that, but I it was one of those things where I could see the puck going across the line and I didn't want to call a goal before it happened. So it happened in slow motion. So it was really, really an interesting goal to call. I felt like I was right on top of the play from our commentary position. And it was, yeah, we got, you know, really animated because you don't often in hockey see a winning goal with, you know, that, you know, few seconds left on the clock. A lot of teams will play for the draw or play to try and get into overtime or whatever the situation may be. But what I liked about it even more so than the goal or the end result was that Chris Higgins and Davey touched on it there. This team's going to play 60 minutes, and Higgins didn't care how much time was left on the clock. He saw an opportunity to maybe try a Plinko shot or a circus play, and he knew that Kyle Jones wasn't going to be ready for it, and that's just a smart hockey player. You can't teach that. Chris Higgins, what we witnessed there and what the goal we call there, was a guy trying to test his luck and do whatever it takes to win, and that's why, you know, Higgins is going to be a guy that's going to absolutely elate the Giants fans on many nights this winter. He's a fantastic hockey player, and that was a fantastic result by a guy who was – he was chancing his luck, but he also was – it was coming at it with from a skilled perspective.
And, Davey, just to conclude this section, the for the Giants to lose 5-0 at home to Coventry Blazers, these two wins are a great way to bounce back.
Well, it proves, the team's a character. It's got it in spades. The new guys that have came in have gelled very well with the existing guys. Spoke about Higgins. He had an outstanding game in Cardiff the other week. Elfring and Brookwell, spoke about it the other week as well. What an axis those two are indeed. It's not Calvin Elfring and Cody Brookwell. It's the two of them as a pair are just sensational together. One stay at home, one guy that's happy to go to the other blue line. It's just, this team excites me, and as Murph says, we're going to have a lot of happy nights over this cold winter coming.
You know what, guys, just to touch on something as well, and this goes back to Davey's point of going in the NIC, someone else having to step up. Don't discount what the fire in the belly that Davey Phillips has shown so far this season as well. Davey was more than happy to drop the gloves against Coventry. He's been very physical, and I've seen Davey a lot the last few years with Team GB, and this year he's hit the gym hard. From my estimation, he looks like he's a bigger, thicker body. He's coming in here. I know he's been working for a bit. I know he wants to be able to help out this team any way possible. He knows that the Elf Rings and the Masons are probably going to supply the offense, so he's willing to play stay-at-home D and work hard with his brother, but he's also willing to fight, to scrap. He gave Matt Toe a real good going over a few times against Brayhead, and it shows an intensity because he and Matt Toe are friends from Toey's time with the Giants, but once the game is on, it looks to me like Davey Phillips is a mean Davey Phillips, and we all know he's a good skater. I mean, he played in the AHL, so a good skater with a mean streak and willing to do whatever it takes to win. I also think Davey and Kevin Phillips are a great pair to keep their eye on as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. As when Kiefer was getting jumped the other week by Convoy, not a second thought, Davey Phillips for himself, straight in over the top to pull Convoy off. Keith, as Murph's described him as thick there, I don't think anybody could argue with that. But look, the guy has came on leaps and bounds. When he went back to Coventry after his sort of AHL experience and ECHL, it didn't go maybe as well as he was hoping it was going to. He's came back and since he's came to Belfast, he's knuckled down and he's improved again as a hockey player. He's a better hockey player than he was before he went to the AHL. And that's testament to the hard work he's putting in off the ice as well as on it.
Yeah, he's a fantastic skater. And I like, good point to bring up the Convoy thing. I think Davey Phillips is going to be an important player. He's in better shape. He's a great skater. And I think Paul Hady is going to be able to roll those guys out. Kevin is a great hockey player, too. Very underrated. So six defensemen. It's just fantastic, the depth there. And again, a testament to the team that Paul Hady and Todd Kelman have built.
All right, then moving on. Quite a few games went on over the weekend, not least the, quote, biggest rivalry in UK hockey, as the Sheffield Steelers returned to the NIC, hoping of getting revenge for the defeat that they suffered to the Panthers in the Motor Point Arena. And joining us now to chat about it, the one and only Mark Hitchcock. Welcome back, Hitchy.
Hello, nice to see you.
You can't see me. The Hitchy, it was a 7-3 loss to the Nottingham Panthers. Pretty much a disaster, considering what was expected, and quite a lot of pressure on this Sheffield team to perform, given the hype that was put on how well Doug Christensen recruited. You were in the NIC for that game. Give us your take.
Well, it was probably one of the most depressing hours of my life. The game, I was at the game in Sheffield against Nottingham about 2 weeks prior. And that was bad enough, but you could almost put that down to the fact that it was quite a new squad, lines getting used to each other, etc. But 3 weekends in, and also the European jaunt as well before that, you would have expected a little bit more heart and a little bit more understanding from that Steelers team as to how much the game means. As you say, biggest rivalry in the UK and Europe. So it was really disappointing. I think there was probably two players which stood out as actually playing well. One of them ended up limping off the ice with a broken ankle, with Lacroix. Just not a lot of heart. A lot of huff and puff at certain times of the game. But it was a strange one. I stand by my opinion that Nottingham didn't look that great either. They just certainly were the lighter shade of poor.
these games are always really hard fought and always bring a really great atmosphere at the NIC. But you're saying that basically that maybe Nottingham weren't that much. Well, you say they weren't that much better. It was 7-3 in the end. Is it just the case that the Sheffield didn't take their chances, or was it a good night for K-Wall? Or
do you know, it was a bit of a strange one, because I would say even though Nottingham scored seven, if they were clinical, they probably could have hit double figures. They had an amazing amount of chances themselves. And the Steelers had chances too. They didn't seem that whoever when we were breaking forward, nobody seemed to want to take the shot. I'm going to probably start saying things that scream true to Belfast fans for the last few years, but there was many odd man rushes. I mean, Nottingham were giving away a lot of odd man rushes, and in fact, in both games I've seen so far, they gave up one on ones on power plays to the Steelers who were on the kill. So if we'd have been clinical, we could have stole something from this game. We would have stole it. There was one point in the game, I think it was the beginning of the third period, when we brought it back to 4-3. Naively, I think some of us thought, bloody hell, we could get something from this, but quite rightly, we were buried. We didn't deserve anything from the game. Nottingham didn't deserve to win 7-3, but they certainly deserved to beat us in both games.
So before I throw this open to the other gents to discuss, what do you think is really the problem in Sheffield? Because, as I said, a lot of pressure, a lot expected from this Doug Christensen side, and let's be frank, they're really not performing.
No, I just don't think they've got any cohesion in the team. I don't think the players are there for each other. It was a massive sign when Lacroix went down behind the goal with a broken ankle, and it took about what seemed to be 2 or 3 minutes for any of his teammates to go and help him off the ice and take him to the bench. There's no team camaraderie at all. The plays look disjointed. They don't seem to know what they're doing on the power play. The power play, I've never seen such a bad power play, not since I wrote for it. there you go. Yeah, they just don't seem to have a clue, and there's no single player I'd say has a default. A lot of people saying that Doyle's useless, and yeah, he does flap around like Flipper on crack, but I don't think the 7 goals were particularly his fault. I've seen the highlights of the Brayhead game, and there are some absolute pearlers on there that I'm looking forward to seeing on a future edition of RudeTube. But I wouldn't say gas him. There's certain defenders I think could do better. But look at the superstars. You've got players like Robert Dowd and Jeff Legui that you expect to step up and really take the team by the scruff of the neck and pull them through. But for me, just at the moment, there doesn't seem to be a lot of hope.
Hitchie, could I ask you there? I mean, I was kind of surprised when they announced that Steve Gerritsen would be the captain. Do you think that there's just a few people in the room that are wondering why that happened and why John O'Phillips is in the cat? Do you think that there's a possibility? You mentioned that no one seems to have any camaraderie. Is there just confusion as to where the leadership and where the vision lies? Or just because, I mean, you're there, you're around. What was your sense?
Yeah, I would have thought coming in as a new coach, you kind of leave those positions like the captain and the A's as they were for now. I think it's quite strange as well that Doug Christensen's so heavily involved with Team GB, and he straight away he's relieved a British player of the captaincy of what I still argue is the biggest club in Britain. So a bit of a strange one. That was a very well-timed cough there. then again, you know, I did say Britain. So it was a strange one. I don't agree with it. And I can look back years and years ago when Ron Shudra was the captain of the Steelers for many, many years, and he's still a hero to all of us. And there was a season where he was relieved of the duty and the captaincy was given to Rob Wilson. Rob Wilson turned out to be a pretty good captain, but that was a strange decision for us too, because I don't think John, he's not done anything particularly wrong in that position, and the last couple of years haven't been the best and they haven't been the most successful, but he's lifted trophies in that role. So yeah, I disagree with the change.
Murph, would you not see that as Doug going in there and, like you say, giving the captaincy to Gerritsen as being him going in there to try just to make his own mark? This is my team. I will make these decisions, and I'm deciding it's going to be Gerritsen because I've seen in Gerritsen exactly what I want from a captain. Do you really go in and try to keep that sort of consistency, or do you want to go in and make your own mark?
I think that a lot of, like, it's the old situation when a GM gets fired in the NHL, right? Mm-hmm. And a new GM comes in and there's a coach that's already been there under the old GM. It's kind of like, well, do you keep that coach because the players like him, or do you get rid of that coach because he was someone else's guy and you want to bring in your own guy? It's a 50-50 play, right? Because sometimes it really works and sometimes people will tune you out so right away. So I don't know. I haven't talked to Doug about it. I will on October 12th when Sheffield's in Belfast. And, you know, Doug is a friend of mine. I would imagine that he's... I won't surmise. He's probably gone in there and decided that, you know, Gjertsen's ex-NHL player, we need to change the thinking here. We're bringing in a new philosophy. I would imagine, unless Jono said, you know, I'm willing to take a back seat here and just sort of, you know, I've been the captain for a lot of years, so Doug, it's up to you. I'm sure they would have had that conversation. But I don't know. Steve Gjertsen is a very vocal player, and I think it would have just been a strange decision to do that without talking to both players. But I think you're right. I think Doug has gone in there and probably decided that they need to have a change because they haven't made it to the playoff final. You know, like you mentioned there, the last few years haven't been the best in Steelers folklore. So maybe the change was necessary in their eyes. But I'd be interested to find, and I will try and find out, if it was a Doug decision solely or if it was more to it than that.
Divi, Steelers were, I believe, 1-for-17 on the power play this weekend, 0-for-10 in that game against Nottingham. Now, we've had a discussion a couple of times, both on and off the air, about a lot of revisionary history about Doug Christensen and about, you know, a lot of people who seem to have turned on him because he's went to Sheffield, quite unfairly, because he was a great coach for us. But do you think he is having trouble here at Sheffield?
There's no smoke without fire when it comes to Doug Christensen's power play. Let's be honest. Now, I have said it week after week on the podcast. I'm not prepared to rewrite Doug Christensen history. This guy came here, won us championships, came within points of winning us 3 in a row, took us to the playoff final. Very unlucky last year with the loss. But there are issues. We have spoke as recently as last week's podcast. You hear them talking about it on Giants Live, about our power play this season and how fluid it is. Under Doug's regime, the power play was a little static. It was tap, 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 try and get it to Sandrock. And it was all a very static play. And, you know, coach will say it, stats don't lie. 0-for-17, the power play is not good enough. And that is something that I'm sure Doug will be trying to work out too. It's not, you know, Doug will be taking this very, very serious. This is, you know, this is his life. This is his passion. And he's not wanting to come out. I think they're 3-3, 3-3-1 maybe. You know, that's not the start he'll have been looking for. He'll have been looking to tank Nottingham twice. And he'll be very embarrassed with what's going on. And he will be doing everything in his power this week to get that Sheffield power play working for the weekend.
Hitchy, like you say, Max Lacroix went down. It's a double fracture to his ankle. It's going to put him out for 3 months, which is a massive loss for the Sheffield Steelers because he's got off to a great start. They were also missing Chad Langley, who came in from Belfast and now playing for the Steelers. You know, these are guys they're going to have to try to replace, especially on D. Now, a name that seems to float around in the ether is Rod Sarich. Yeah, he's a possibility.
Yeah, it's a possibility, and I wouldn't be displeased if he came in. But if the guy's got any, I guess, pride in himself, he'll tell him to sod off.
You think so?
We'll see.
Yeah, so you think it's a case of you didn't want me in the first place, so why should I come in now?
Well, I mean, it depends what conversations take place. You might want to come in and prove them wrong and show them why it was a mistake not to keep him on. But who knows? I mean, you just never know. I mean, the amount of times they talk about Ron Shuter again, him coming back into the side after years. Something's got to happen. And I think someone like Rod Sarich probably would make a difference on some of these power plays. I mean, I sat there on Saturday night and I watched us fluff 2 5-on-3 power plays. I mean, in fact, on one of the 5-on-3 power plays, for the first time I could ever remember, we almost saw Nottingham score. It was just absolutely atrocious. And I can remember 10 years ago in the ISL, the year Manchester Storm won the league, and Kurt Kleidendorf, his team had the best power play I can ever remember in Britain. And they're just the power, and they just bossed it. And the absolute polar opposite that I've seen so far in Doug Christensen's power plays is just mind-boggling. So, it's just terrible.
Fatty, just on the Rod Sarich thing, you know, the guy is... You know, a Steelers legend. He must have, I'm sure, over 300 games for the Steelers, but he's been there years, 7-8 years maybe, Hitchy. And for him to say that, you know, he maybe want to come to Sheffield to prove a few people wrong, as Hitchy said, if he's got any sort of pride, he'd be telling them where to go, because this guy should have walked straight into that Sheffield day. It should have been one of the first names Doug Christensen was trying to ink their contract. You know, the Steelers' problems over the last few years haven't been caused by Rod Sarich, although, to be fair, we're looking from the outside looking in. To us, it's not Rod Sarich causing the problem. couple of seasons ago, Rod Sarich played every single person in Nottingham off the ice on the playoffs weekend, the last time they were there. You know, to me, you know, they haven't offered him a contract for him to come now and have a few bodies go down injury and come down at the end of September, start October, and go, well, would you come back and, you know, have a go for us? I think he should tell him where to.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I really hope that the decision, the kind of pessimist in me says that I watched all the GB games over the summer on TV, and Rod Sarich obviously played for Great Britain and was probably Great Britain's worst player in that series. I thought it was really poor, and it was disappointing because normally when you bring in an import for the GB side, you'd hope they'd make a really positive impact, otherwise there's just no point giving him a go. And he was quite poor in that series, and I hope that didn't cloud Christensen's judgment as to whether he should come back to Sheffield, because in his time as a Steeler, yeah, he's had some crazy moments, but he could really take the game by the scruff of the neck and go end-to-end and change the outlook of the game, and that's what we needed in Nottingham. There was nobody who was going to do that.
So,
well, Rod certainly, I'll just touch on that, you're talking about the Olympic qualifiers in Latvia. I mean, Rod certainly, he tried, from my perspective, doing the games over there, he was trying to do a lot, and he was basically charged with a lot, because it was basically him and Ben O'Connor that could sort of rush with the puck and make those outlet passes. So Rod had didn't have his best moment over there in Latvia at the final Olympic qualifiers, but I know for a fact that the coaching staff and the other players knew that any problems he was having was because he was trying too hard. It's not that he had lost his game. He maybe was just trying to rise to the occasion. It didn't quite work out for him. So if that's clouded Doug's judgment, so be it. But you mentioned there with a guy like Chad Longley out, who's supposed to be helping their power play, yeah, maybe Rod's pride would come into play and he would say, well, you guys didn't want me, so I'm not coming in there. But I can tell you right now, it could work out very well for Rod Sarich, because he could probably name his price right now. You mentioned how bad their power play is. We look at their lineup, and then, you know, Lacroix was the only guy who was really sort of off to a really dynamic start. So, you know, it could really work out for Rod Sarich if they're ever even willing to go down that route. But, you know, the way he played in Latvia was unfortunate. I think that all the guys knew that they were in tough against, you know, Team Latvia is a team that could beat Canada if Canada was having an off day. So they were in really tough against France and Latvia. So Rod was doing what a lot of guys will do when they know you're probably outmatched. He was trying too hard, and he was trying to do things that maybe if he had just stayed within his game would have came off better. So, I mean, Rod Sarich is a legend. He's a heck of a hockey player, and I think that any team would be lucky to have Rod Sarich at this point.
So then I'll conclude with yourself, Hitchie. You've got two games coming up against Cardiff, both home and away. Cardiff themselves having defensive problems, having goalkeeper problems, so it might be a pretty even matchup between the two of you. How do you see Sheffield turning this around? Do you see positive things this weekend?
Do you know what? It's going to be... I really am gutted I can't go to either game this weekend, because if there's ever going to be a series of games for Frank Doyle to turn it around, it's against the team that he turned his back on. So it's going to be an incredible two games, I think. And obviously Cardiff are going to be missing. I'm sure you've spoken about that fraudulent superhero who's been banned. The video has been released in the last half an hour, actually. I don't know if you've seen it.
Oh, no, I haven't seen it yet. We haven't spoken about it yet, so we're going to get on to that.
We'll enjoy that. I think it's going to be... I think I've got a feeling we'll get a couple of wins this weekend. I didn't feel confident going to Nottingham. I took my 9-year-old son, and I was apologising to him all the way there and all the way home. But I think against Cardiff, I think there's a good chance that we'll be able to take advantage of their misfortune and really try and pull something out of what's been a pretty disappointing start to the season.
Well, I think LaCosta might be back this weekend as well, right, for Cardiff? Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, you're right. You're in for two, you know, a really good time there, because we know how tough it's been for and LaCosta. So I hope that both teams, you know, have iced their best sides, and, you know, both teams need a big win here, or a big game at least, because it hasn't started well for either Sheffield or Cardiff.
Well, thanks for joining us, Hitchie. Always a pleasure.
No problem. I've just paused the Gypsy Wedding program on Channel 4, so I'm going to get back to it. So you take care of yourselves.
You enjoy that.
Thank you.
Thanks, mate. One of our main talking points of the weekend is well, there's been a lot of suspensions and a lot of physical incidents. We've already spoken about Keith receiving a 3-game ban for a check to the head. Jeff Hutchins received a 4-game ban for a check to the head in a matchup between Dundee and Edinburgh. There's been a lot of goings on with Morey Hansen. He's been called into work a lot in his early time as the head of discipline. But one of the big talking points was the game between Dundee and Cardiff. Cardiff went up to Dundee Arena and were absolutely hammered 7-0 by the Dundee Stars, obviously stinging from that loss to the Belfast Giants, wanting to get back on track. 6 different scorers for Jeff Hutchins' side, which shows fantastic depth in their team. But the real talking point came when Andrew Conboy was ejected from the game and was for physical abuse of an official. Really not something you want to see in this game, Murph.
I mean, what's the deal here? Has this guy played a full game yet?
Oh, my goodness.
Davey's watching it as we speak.
Yeah, it's there's no excuse for some of the sideshow, gong show thing that is going on there with this guy.
He's been involved in 6 games. But only finished 2 of them. The other ones he's either been ejected from or suspended from. Now, G obviously knew he was bringing in a guy with a bit of edge. He's shown against the Belfast Giants that he has a scoring ability. He is a skillful player. But so is it just his attitude? Is it just that he doesn't know how to play in this league, or is it just that he's used to playing more of a North American style where he's a role player and he doesn't have to worry about it?
Well, there should be no excuse, because it doesn't matter what league or what North American style or European style, you can't go running around like a hatchet man. You certainly can't, I mean, you got to have some respect for the game. You got to have some respect for your teammates. Now, I know the guy's a good hockey player, and that's why I'm a little bit disappointed in it. And I know what Cardiff needed from him. And when you're starting goalie, we mentioned Dan Lacoste, when he's not in there, you need your other guys that you've brought in here to do a job to do that job. Now, I know he's a tough guy, and he's got to do that as well. But whether you're Ben Olsen or Adam Keefe or whoever, you can't go around. You saw Ben Olsen. I was so impressed with Ben Olsen a few weeks ago when they came into Belfast and beat Belfast. Ben Olsen was challenged a few times. Ben Olsen was pressured a few times. And Ben Olsen was told before the game, we're short benched. You can't go out there and fight Keefe 2 or 3 times. We need you on the ice. And Olsen was a model citizen that night because he knew that's what his team needed. So I don't understand what Conboy's mindset is to go around, and he's certainly not helping his team in the import spot, and the guy's not playing games.
So, Davey, you've had a chance to view the incident now. Give us your take on it. Give us a description of what takes place.
First of all, I'm very, very surprised that the head of Elite League Discipline, being an ex-referee, has let Conboy away with this, because 6 matches is the absolute minimum tariff for hitting, for making contact with an official without intent to injure. Conboy has, something has gone on the ice. Conboy is skating back to the bench on the short end. The linesman is by the away dressing room opening off the ice. And Conboy has dropped the elbow into his guts on the way past. Shoulder charge, basically elbow bashed him into the boards, skated off the ice, and left the linesman doubled over. Now, obviously, then the referee has skated over and said, what's wrong? He's pointed out it's Conboy. He's been through out of the game. But for me, Aaron Clark got through out of the game in Nottingham, from memory, a couple of seasons ago, and got 6 matches for not making contact with an official. This guy, for me, now in Cardiff the other Sunday when I was down, he was as quiet as a church mouse when Keith was on the ice. He ran his mouth and he ran his fist as soon as Keith was off the ice. He mugged Keith when Keith was down the ice. This guy is just a good... This guy will be gone by Christmas if they don't do something about it. But a 6-match ban from Morey Hansen. I'm sorry, Morey. I have a lot of time for Morey Hansen. Massive respect for him as a referee. But since he's came into this position of head of discipline, he has missed a chance here to send out a real message. You can't put your hands on official in any sport. In any sport across the spectrum, doesn't matter, football, rugby. You imagine a rugby player put his hands on a referee, what would be happening? This has got the potential to do serious damage to our sport. and it is absolutely out of order. I'll let you see the video yourself, but it is crazy that he's been allowed to walk away with only a 6-match ban. Absolutely crazy.
Do you remember what I said earlier about Brookwell racing up the ice to maybe take care of Frank, and he put the brakes on because he would have had to go through the officials to do so?
Yeah.
Right? And that's when you're seeing the red mist, there's a teammate down. I mean, you're skating off the ice and you put a dig into the referee. I mean, I don't understand. And I know they're a hard-nosed team. I like the Devils. I always have, because they play an honest, hard-nosed style of play. I mean, a guy like that can really, really put a damper in the dressing room and stuff when other guys are out there going, you know, we're trying to get back into this game and we got guys doing things that are selfish and childish.
Well, they're 3-0 down. They've ended up getting beat 7. You know, it's crippled their chances of getting back. As you've said, Murph, the guy's not a bad player. He either scored an even strength or a power play goal against us. He's not a complete waste of a shirt.
No, he's a good player. He's a hard-nosed player there to do a job. And like I said, Olsen comes into the Odyssey, doesn't fight because his job that night is to stay on the ice and play hard. I don't understand why a guy you know, like Convoy isn't just – this is a league where he could be really useful, and he's just making a bit of a mockery of himself and really hurting his teammates.
So then, Murph, I'll stick with yourself. What do the Cardiff Devils do at this point? Because, as I say, he's been kicked out of a lot of games. He's now suspended for 6. 3 weeks ago, after the headbutting incident, he went onto Twitter and talked about how, you know, he needs to learn, he needs to set an example. You know,
for the young kids, yeah.
For the young kids. And 3 weeks down the line, here we are, he's pulling off a stunt like that, getting a 6-game suspension, which, according to Davey, appears lenient. You know, surely Cardiff themselves have to take some action, either it's to try to rehabilitate the player, or do they even consider letting him go?
Well, I mean, Davey made a good point there. 6 games is the minimum tariff. I have to wonder if people in the Bay down there who make decisions are thinking, you know, I wish they had just banned him for the rest of the season, because that's an easy way out for us, because it's certainly not working with him there. I mean, I'm harping on it now, but because Lacoste is out, these other imports and these other guys that they're leaning on to be leaders and good players can't be running around like sideshows, right? So what do you do, right? You got a guy under contract now. He's out for 6 games. But you've got to make a decision here, because we all know it, guys. The Elite League season, you certainly don't win the title in the first month or so, but you can definitely lose it. And it looks like the Cardiff Devils are in real danger of falling, you know, perilously behind the leaders in this league. And a guy like Convoy is not helping right now. So a decision has to be made whether he can be rehabilitated, or is that even a way Jared Adams wants to go right now? You're trying to rehab a guy when you're already off to a poor start, or do you get rid of him and bring in a guy that can play two-way hockey? It's disappointing, because I think the guy could be a real difference maker for the Devils, and they certainly don't need him pulling this stuff.
What I'm disappointed in as well, Paddy, is that, you know, Convoy was the headbutt, preseason. Yeah. He mugged Keefe. You know, there's not rules governing, you know, clean play on the ice, but they've got this, what they call the code. You know, that wasn't in the code. He mugged Keefe when he was on the ice, and he's now being suspended for hitting an official. And there's no, you can't gloss over this. I've seen it with my own eyes. You can't gloss around this. He has struck an official. Now, the Devils have a chance here to come out of this with a bit of moral high ground, get rid of him, make a statement. But the Devils have came out and made a statement. Devils bench coach Neil Francis has said, Andrew will serve his ban and learn his lesson. He has to play a little smarter. Now, Andrew Convoy does not need to play a little smarter. He needs to stop headbutting people. He needs to stop mugging people when they're on the ice. And he needs to stop hitting officials.
He needs to play a little bit smarter. He needs to play a whole lot smarter.
Yeah. That is not a player that I would like to be representing my club.
Well, you can bet that, you know, the leaders in that dressing room are looking around going, what are we dealing with here? You know, there's been some weird situations there. That Myers is the backup goalie, but they bring in Blaze to play.
Yeah, it's a strange one.
And then Now Lacoste is coming back, and hopefully that will be good, because Lacoste is a special player. He brings NHL pedigree there. He's a real good guy, and he's a professional. And I got to wonder if he's looking around going, yeah, I like being here, and I like doing the university program, but I don't want to be a part of a side. Bad, not just representing the team, but it's the things that happen in an EIHL dressing room when guys are just trying to get, you know, do the little things right and play the game the right way. You're great point there. Davey, okay, first there's a headbutt. You got to learn from that. He doesn't go learn from that. He goes and jumps a guy, albeit, I mean, Kiefer's a tough guy, so he won't complain about the guy mugging him. But then you're hitting an official. So headbutting is the lowest of the low. And then the worst thing, even lower than that, another tear down, is hitting an official. And you got both of that within a few weeks. How is he learning, and how is he going to be playing a little bit smarter? Come on, he needs to be playing, an Eiffel Tower smarter. He's at the bottom there.
So this video is out there now. Everybody's going to watch it, not just the fans, not just the players, but the officials as well. And Davey, surely when he comes back after six games, he's a marked man. The referees are going to be all over him. He's not going to be able to move sideways without a call being made at him. Even if it's, listen, the referees are as professional as everyone else in the league. We know that. But he's made himself a bed now, and he's going to have to lie in it.
I can't. I'm almost the point of speechlessness. I'm watching it back here.
Let it go, Davey.
Something has obviously happened. He is screaming at the linesman in his face. You can see by his body language, he's almost bent double, screaming. And it's in the press release from the EIHL that he was screaming obscenities at the linesman. And he's just dropped him. I can't believe he's got away with 6 points. But yes, to move on from that without labouring the point too much, he'd be a marked man for the Chirpers. He's someone that, if I was a coach, which I'm not, we're all armchair coaches, I'd be saying to Dyer Lloyd, go out and get in his ear, first shift, yeah. Get under his skin, because he's obviously got that short fuse.
Yeah. Dangerous player for the Cardiff Devils, as it seems to be. It'll be intriguing to see where it goes from here. It'll be intriguing to see how the Cardiff Devils progress from this. But overall, just very briefly, Murph, the Elite League have had a lot of suspensions to deal with at a very early time. Are they trying to put down a marker here? Well, obviously, say that six games may not be enough, but they're obviously trying to put down a marker on dangerous play.
Well, you've certainly been busy. I mean, you've got, Kiefer had 3, Harvey 4, and Hutchie 4, and now this. I mean, boy, oh boy, it doesn't matter who comes into that role or that office seems to have a no-win situation. It's got to be the most thankless job in European hockey, I think, is the disciplinary guys for the EIHL. Throwing down a marker, I don't think they are, Patty, because as Davey said, if you're throwing down a marker, you go, okay, Convoy's gone for the rest of the season or 20 games or something like that.
Yeah.
And you might have thrown down the marker for the headbutt, right? You probably could have saved the league face by getting rid of this guy, and they haven't. So whether they're throwing down a marker or going through the motions like I've seen in other seasons where one will be 5, one will be 4, one will be 3, why is Kiefer's 3 and Hutchie's 4? Like, people are already talking like this, like this should be this should be that. And to me, It's. I know it's been suggested, and I know it's been, I don't read the forums, but someone tweeted me the other day, why not have the disciplinary guy stand up there like Brendan Shanahan, explain it, and say exactly why, and go, if you don't like it, too bad, but that's why, here's the video, and this is why it's different from the 3-game ban. And right now, it's a bit Bush league to me, that no one can tell you why a minimum tariff is being given to a guy who's a repeat offender in the first month of the season, a headbutt, a mugging, a stupid play on a referee. So there's no marker being thrown down. It's the same old thing that I've experienced in my 8-9 years in Europe in the Elite League.
I have to hand it to the Elite League, though. In the last couple of years, it has improved. It used to be you didn't even get this much. It used to be, 5-game ban for him. You didn't even get a reason. It was just an arbitrary figure thrown out there without any sort of description. Piece by piece, we are starting to get a little bit, since Simon Kirkham has been there and he brought in the fact that, he would give out. Now we're getting, how many bans and what games. We are getting some sort of description. I guess it's just step by step. I do agree with you. What's the difference? I need to see the Hutchins check, because he got 4 games. One of them could be appealed, whereas Kiefer's was only 3. None could be appealed because he got the minimum tariff. We don't get the understand why. I fully agree that maybe we should be getting that next step in description, that next step on maybe like you say, a Brendan Shanahan sort of this is why, and you know, he's a repeat offender, etc., etc.
Patty, it's an absolutely perfect point that Murph brings up there about, you know, Brendan Shanahan and his little videos that he pieces together on a play. Timo Pukkanen last week for the Wings, getting 4-game ban on his first ever NHL shift. You know, they've came out and they've said, you know, the hits from behind, the player's not looking, no repeat offence, you know, no previous. This is why he's getting a 4-game ban.
Point by point.
Was it Rafi Torres a couple of seasons ago, you know, got a multiple game ban because he was a repeat offender? Sorry, Mr. Torres, if it wasn't you.
I think it was.
No, it probably was. Right.
But, you know, yeah, so, you know, that technology isn't mind-blowingly difficult to put together. And, you know, there's people within the IHL now that this league is progressive. You know, it is getting better year on year, and technology's getting better, and Chris Ellis is doing a great job promoting it. I think... You don't even have to put it out as a video. Just put out the press release and go, he's getting a 4-game ban because, or Convoy's getting a 6-game ban because, although he hit an official, the official, you know, didn't have to go to hospital. It's just not acceptable. You know, there's a chance for us to take positives out of this, and one of them is, let's make the discipline more transparent, please.
Well, that's no doubt that's something that's going to roll and roll and roll. So let's move on to some happier times. Murph, just
look, I will say just, and to be positive about it, it has gotten better in the time I've been in Europe, but I think that they missed a trick on this one.
Well, Murph, you've come, the big transfer of the season was the move of Aaron Murphy from Coventry Blaze TV to GiantsLive.tv. give us an update on yourself. You know, you were with ESPN, I believe you're now with Setanta Sports, and now you're working with Giants Live TV as well.
Yeah, it's been an interesting summer for me. ESPN's changed the way they do things with BT Sports coming in there in that territory. So I finished up, I got to go to the Stanley Cup and cover the Bruins Blackhawks as one of my last assignments for
not a bad last assignment.
That's not a bad one. Yeah, I had a good run there. Nothing but good things to say about ESPN in my time there. But an opportunity came up to come back to Dublin from London. I love Dublin as a guy from Newfoundland. Dublin's like a second home to me. And so, it's Setanta Sports doing a lot of the same things I did for ESPN. And of course, you know, last winter I was with Coventry, I'd drive up from London, and now it just makes sense when Todd Kelman said to me, you know, you're in Dublin, would you want to do the same sort of thing that you did for Coventry? And I said to him I'd love to, and I tell you what, it's been a good ride so far. We've had Balzano in town, we've had the big win against Edinburgh, and of course the exciting win against Brayhead. I mean, it's been a lot of fun, and I'm blessed to be around you guys and the coach and Simon Kitchen, and to be around the Giants and the Blaze last year. I was with Tom O there his last season. I've been very lucky. So, you know, happy to be on board, and thanks for having me on the podcast here too. I'm a big fan of the stuff you guys do and the passion you bring to the club. So, you know, it's been a good start to the season. I think this team can challenge for trophies, and I hope to be a big part of that and call more exciting games like we did against Brayhead.
Davey, you and I have been watching Giants Live TV since its first run. We've had Nigel there, we've had Wayne there, we've had Gary Gillespie there, etc., etc. It's sounding great with Murph and Sis there, and Murph, well, the coach. Maybe with the coach, but you know, it's a great product to have.
It's fabulous for us that, you know, we're season ticket holders for many years, and just geography has us away from Belfast at the minute. Hopefully, not be too long then back, but you know. I much like Doug Christensen, I will never criticise anyone that has stepped up and helped out in the past. Gary Gillespie, Ringer, you know, Wayne, they all did a great job in there. But see, at the minute, the product that Giants Live are putting out on a Saturday night is as good a quality almost as we get in the NHL Game Centre. You know, it's now getting called by real professional play-by-play guys. The colour commentary from Sez and Coach is good. You know, the product, I don't want to give Murph a big head, but bringing him on board has really added impetus to the product this year. I was speaking to Ronan during the week, Dave Laurie. You know, those guys give us something that you know, money can't buy for me because I'm not in Belfast and I love my club. And, you know, long may it continue that we can get it.
I think for me, like I say, Murph, not to give you that big a head, but I think the enthusiasm that you bring to the game, the you only have to listen to that piece of audio, you know, good golly, Miss Molly, he was jumping around like a frog in a blender. Some real enthusiasm, real love of the game, and it's something that I know that I've personally loved having in my front room on a Saturday night. And long may it continue, sir. Thank you very much.
Guys, thank you for the kind words. I mean, it's been fun, and like I said, we're gonna call some more. We'll come up with some new good phrases for you. Maybe we'll have to work both your nicknames in there. But yeah, it's easy to get excited and call games when the product's exciting. And again, this all comes back to Todd and Coach 80. They've really put together a fantastic team, so it makes my job easy. And I know Simon, you know, Sizz from the old Irish Ice Hockey League days. Simon and I used to take lumps out of each other. But now, you know, hockey guys are hockey guys, and we're blessed around the EIHL. There's a lot of good people, and Sizz and Coach and you guys, you're all, you know, top shelf to me. So it's been an easy transition.
Well, we'll move on quickly, guys, because I know we've been rattling on and on forever. Murph, you've got a weekend off this weekend as the Giants are on the road for two games, but the very first game is at the NIC. Paul Eddy returns to the Nottingham Ice Centre to face the Panthers team that he played with for a long time and he coached as well. And his name and his number hang from the rafters. There's a lot of subplots in this game, Murph, and it's not going to be easy for the Giants, especially without their talismanic captain.
Yeah, I spoke with Kiefer when I came into the rink and he had just found out, and I just got the press release from Chris Ellis about Kiefer's three-game ban, and I said to him, you know, the tough one out of this is the road game in Nottingham, and we both agreed that it's tough to go into Nottingham and win with a full lineup, and he's disappointed that he won't be in the lineup because with a full lineup, the Giants will always challenge any team. I still think that they'll go in there, and I still think they can win that game in Nottingham. And speaking with Paul Eddy, he's a legend there. You know, he's had some fantastic moments on the ice for those guys. But he won't let it become about him. And he's already told me he won't go in there thinking, well, this is a game against a club that I have a storied history with. He's going, I'm going in there to win a game on a Saturday night against the defending league champions. And that's great to hear from Paul Eddy. He looks at every game for what it's worth. And really what he wants Saturday is 2 points. Sure, he'll go out and he'll talk to some of his old friends and people he knows from back in the day after the game Saturday, but basically for him, it's all business. He knows Kiefer's not in there. I still think I said it after the game to Brooksy for Giants.com Saturday after the Brayhead game. I still think keep an eye on Sweser, White Cotton, and Shield Saturday night. If there's going to be someone that can pull the socks up and get this team a win without the captain in the lineup, it's going to be those guys. And then, of course, Surrett and those guys are fantastic. But I think they need a big game from Jeffrey Swez. And whatever that means, so be it. Whether it's a fight, physicality on the forecheck, or just a couple of snipes, I expect a big game from Swez.
Davey, no Eric Werner in the Nottingham side. And Nick Anderson's come in to replace him. I think Murph said most of it there. It's a tough place to go and get a result.
Yeah, I go to the other end of the ice, and I'll pick a player that I think needs to come to the game big time. I think he'll be very disappointed. Another Murphy, Stephen Murphy. I think he'll be slightly disappointed with the start of the season. You know, he's down there at 869. That's not what Murph will be expecting from himself. And he'll be his own worst critic. You know, if anyone, he'll be putting his straps up on Saturday night. If he can, Murphy has the ability in this league to win games. No doubt about it. You know, he's been one of the best goalies in the league across a number of seasons now for the Giants. Kowalski hasn't started all that hot, and Ben Bounds at Hull either. You know, Murphy can be the difference maker for us on Saturday night. Big first period from him. Let's get the crowd quiet and down, and let's the big men like Swayze and White Cotton and Surrett take the game to Nottingham.
And then on Sunday night, they travel up the road across the M62 and into Hull's most versatile arena to take on Sylvain Cloutier's Stingray side, who pretty much, Davey, are a bit of a mixed bag at the minute. You know, they put up a good fight, but then they lose at home to Edinburgh, despite putting 50 shots on Hadlovsky. They outshot the Edinburgh Capitals 50-21 in that game and still walked away with, I think it was a 5-3 or 6-3 loss. They could be up or down, but they've got some great players in there. You look at Jeremy Tender, for example. Hull's, it's really a place you need to grind the win out.
Well, first off, don't discount how good Thomas Sedlowski is. So, I would imagine Klutz would be very disappointed. But also, we saw it when Edinburgh came to town in the season opener there. The Giants were stymied in the first few periods. Sedlowski was the best player on the ice for Edinburgh. So I wasn't surprised that he had 47 saves on Saturday night against Hull. But definitely, that's frustrating for a Hull team that definitely outplayed Edinburgh. Mm.
It's, like I say, David, it's a tough place to get a result at any time, never mind at this stage of the season.
Well, we've been humbled there in the past. You know, we've went there expecting just to hammer them and came away. You know, we stayed up there and almost in tears.
7-2.
If a team can get 50 shots on net, which I don't believe they'll get 50 shots on Stephen Murphy, you know, Caps getting shots on Caps is a different kettle of fish than getting shots on the Giants. But as Murph said there, Hadlowski's been standing on his head for the Caps. You know, he's kept them in more games. What we have to do, we've got to keep out Doucette, we've got to keep out Tendler, Silverthorne, Derek Campbell. I've no doubt he'll be running his mouth on Saturday night. You know, somebody's going to have to put, or Sunday night, somebody's going to have to put him in the box. And then you've got, you know, secondary guys on that are high quality at Hull, and they're no mugs, but I would have to expect us to get enough rubber on Ben Bounds to win the game on Sunday night, and I think we should win it comfortably enough.
Well, the Giants have been out shooting teams early in the season. Sorry, Patty. The Giants have been out shooting teams. I wouldn't be surprised if they outshoot Hull heavily. So then it comes down to whether Ben Bounds can have a big game. It could be the opposite effect, right? And I agree with you. I bet you Stephen Murphy would love to stand on his head all weekend long here. He had to shut out against Edinburgh, and you know he's off to an okay start, as you mentioned there. But Stephen Murphy is one of the best goalies in the league, and I expect he'll be important, and he'll rise to the occasion. He knows what that game means in Nottingham on Saturday.
Well, for anybody who's not travelling over to Hull, it's a lovely place. But anybody's not travelling over to Hull to watch the game, you can go to hullstingrays.net/live and they'll have a webcast of the game there. Gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure. Murph, thanks for stepping in. I know Coach is off sunning himself. I say sunning himself. We're still getting text messages. You'd think he'd be out enjoying himself. But thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure to talk to Hitchy and Davey and yourself. And anytime you need me, let me know. And thank you for jumping on to GiantsLive.tv in the second intermission Saturday. It was a pleasure to have you on, Patty.
It was fun to get up there and chat with you guys. You know, it's a great production up there. It's always good to talk hockey with that. Well, maybe next time we'll get Davey up there as well, eh, Davey?
Yeah, you never know, mate. You never know.
Thanks for joining us, guys.
Quite welcome. See you later, mate.
And thanks again to the guys, to Murph for coming on. You know, it's fantastic to have somebody like Aaron come on to the show. Very, very enjoyable. Always very, very honest in what he says. And hopefully we'll have him back on again. And Davey, you know, the guy's just come straight from the hospital where his wife has just given birth to their second daughter. Superb for him. We really appreciate him coming on the show. You can follow Murph on Twitter at Murph on Ice. That's at Murph on Ice. And Davey, of course, you can follow him at Davey _McGMCG. I'd give you the coaches, but he wasn't on today's show, so I'm not going to bother. If you want to get in touch with us here at A View from the Bridge, you can contact us at podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. You can go to his Twitter at AVFTB, or you can go to the website www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. I have just tweeted up a link to the Andrew Conboy incident. If you want to go and have a look at that, I'm sure that will still be there when this goes live. We'll be talking about it for weeks, no doubt. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.